the Better Ministry. Our study will cover chapter 8 and the first 5 verses of chapter 9. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. This is the point. This is the intent. This is the central core. Various translations have been used for the word sum. We have such a high priest. This word such is most emphatic as it comes in the writings of Paul in this context. We have such a one. In reality, who is set at the right hand, he's already told us that, place of honor, of the throne, place of authority in government, of the majesty of God in the heavens. So Paul had no doubt as to where Jesus was. He was on the throne, at the right hand of God, in heaven. He is also a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. This word sanctuary is a term that occurs many times in the book of Hebrews. About it, there are all kinds of rumors and discussions going. It deals with the word holies. It's sometimes in the plural, it's once or twice in the singular. It's translated in various ways. Sanctuary, Holy of Holies, Most Holy Place. The most safe way to translate this term, To Hagion, Ta Hagia, Hagia, Hagia Hagion, is to say sanctuary. And the time it occurs in Hebrews 2:2, it's translated sanctuary in the King James Version. It's actually plural, Ton Hagion, of the holies would be the literal translation. Of the true or the real tabernacle, tent, which the Lord pitched, not man. So, Jesus in heaven is the minister of the true, the real tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. Well, every tabernacle of which we have any knowledge, man pitched. So this tabernacle in heaven was pitched by the Lord himself. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, here again, non-bloody and bloody, whereof it was necessary that this man, it's this high priest, man is supplied, have somewhat to offer. For if he were on earth, he couldn't be a priest, seeing there are those who offer according to law. Priests is not in the manuscript, neither is the law. There are ones that offer gifts according to law. So the temple was still in existence. Who are examples, who serve unto examples and shadows of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished by God, make it, see this is one that Moses made, God didn't, make your tabernacle, or the tabernacle, according to all things shown in the model, tupos, in the mount. But now, he, Jesus, the right hand of God, obtained a more excellent ministry than the ordinary high priests, and is made a mediator of a better covenant. which was established on better promises. Now, for the next few verses, he deals with the covenant. And I would suggest that we read Patriarchs and Prophets, page 53, the first paragraph on the top of that page, and pages 370 to 373, for the finest explication of the Bible teachings on the two covenants. The Old Covenant was made by God for angels and unfallen beings and Adam and Eve. It required a built-in ability to keep the requirements of God. When Adam and Eve fell, God made a new covenant that required a graced inability. They needed power outside themselves to keep the covenant. But God made the old covenant once with Israel at Sinai as a teaching device to show them that now they could no longer live under the conditions of the old covenant by their own strength. They needed grace. With this in mind, we can move on to Paul's teaching concerning the covenant. The new covenant, of which Christ is a mediator, in verse 6, is based on better promises. For the first covenant understood was full of fault and therefore could be removed or could be moved. But finding fault with them, see, they couldn't keep it. He says, I will make a new covenant with you, the house of Israel. According to the covenant that I made with the fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land. Because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make. This is the new one after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their minds. I will write them in their hearts. I will be to them God. They shall be to me a people. They will not need to teach every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall know me. I will go in there. I will be in their minds through the Spirit, from the least to the greatest. I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith anew, he made the first old. Our word geriatrics comes from this same root. Now that which is old decays and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So Paul calls attention to the fact that Jesus Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. A better covenant, based on his promises, not on their promises. Now, after the fall of Adam and Eve, it was no longer possible for mankind, unaided by grace, unprovided with forgiveness for the sins that are past, to keep this covenant. And although he is the mediator of a new and better ministry, he is also the mediator of a new and better covenant. Now, in this sanctuary to which Paul has made allusion, that God pitched and not man, in this sanctuary there are furnishings the same as were found in the sanctuary on earth. And Paul goes in the first five verses of chapter 9 to emphasize the truth that you can only understand the sanctuary in heaven through a grasp of the known sanctuary on earth. You can only go from the known to the unknown. And since man knows nothing about the heavenly sanctuary that is not revealed to him, he should move from the area of revelation. Then verily, the first had ordinances of divine service and a worldly or earthly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle, a tent made, the first in the first, which is supplied, or where is supplied, was the candlestick, and the table with the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Now the term that he uses here is Hagia. So Paul here is definitely stating that when he uses the word Hagia, he's meaning the holy place. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called Hagia Hagion. So he defines the most holy place as Hagia Hagion. So until we see Hagia Hagion, we are not to confuse it with the most holy place. And Hagia Hagion is only found in verse 3. And the Hagia Hagion, most holy place, had the golden censer. Now there are some translations that call that a golden altar. But the word that is translated censer is never translated altar. And if you look in lexicons, it'll say it means a censer, except here where it means altar, which is pure interpretation. When did the most holy place have the golden censer? When did the most holy place have the golden censer? On the Day of Atonement. And so Paul here is calling attention to a ministry in the most holy place that required a golden censer. And the ark, overlaid round about with gold, the golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. So he is concentrating on the most holy place on the Day of Atonement. And the ark contained the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat, of which things we cannot speak part by part. The apostle is thus calling attention to his readers through the furnishings of the earthly sanctuary of which they were familiar to the reality of the heavenly sanctuary of which they only had dim ideas. The sanctuary to which he has allusion in chapter 9 is not the temple in Jerusalem. For the temple in Jerusalem did not contain the golden pot of manna, nor Aaron's rod that budded. These somehow in the mystery of the providence had been taken out of the ark that was put into Solomon's temple. You can read that in Kings. And the spirit of prophecy saw them in the actual sanctuary in heaven, in which Jesus Christ functions. So it's through the Mosaic tabernacle, which was the model shown to Moses in the Mount, to which Paul makes allusion. And it's through the sanctuary in Exodus, of which there is a most detailed description, through which God's people are to think concerning the sanctuary in heaven, and not the temple on earth. So we have a high priest who has our human body that fits into space, has weight, that is sitting and standing and functioning in the real sanctuary, of which the Mosaic tabernacle was a representation. And he is the real minister in a real tabernacle, having offered a real sacrifice of himself, which has been accepted on behalf of his people, who is really mediating for us before the Father.
This has been another Classics from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.